it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor-filmmaker Andre Hyland talks about an unfortunate trip to the dentist.
And before we start, he's like, whatever, he's getting the little dental tools ready. And I go, hey, is it okay if we, like, you don't see, like, my back teeth? And does it really make, it'll make me gag? It makes me sick. And he was like, well, you know, it'll be all right. Yeah, I know, but it'll make me want to throw up. Like, I hate it. And he thought it was just being dramatic.
Today on Storyworthy, filmmaker Andre Hyland talks about a trip to the dentist that did not end well. Stick around for Andre Hyland and his story, Slap Bracelet.
Howdy, it's Andre Hyland. You are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode last week with Stephanie Mikus. Do you know Stephanie, Andre?
No.
She is. No, that's okay. Yeah. She's a comedian and a writer and very popular on Twitter. And she actually has a new movie out as well.
Yeah.
So you guys are both filmmakers.
Oh, what's her movie?
Now I'm going to blank on it, but I'll think of it as we go on and I'll tell you. But she told a story about growing up sick.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know it sounds hilarious, but some of it was funny, of course. But it's also just really interesting because sometimes you see a girl like Stephanie and she's maybe 31 or 32 and she's beautiful and people think like, oh, she hasn't made.
Right.
And she grew up like very difficult situation. So anyway, it's an interesting story. So go back and listen to that. But not today, because today we are here with Andre Hyland. And I have to tell you, I didn't even know this guy's name a week and a half ago. And now all of a sudden, he's in my life and I'm watching all your stuff. And you're super funny. You're very original. You're a unique voice. And I recently heard you on another show lamenting that you thought you were old. Or maybe she said she was old and you said were old.
Well,
and
I don't feel old or anything like that.
Yeah, because you're not.
Yeah.
You're super young. And I mean, or if you are old, then I'm ancient. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I feel like, and also in a way you have to think like in Hollywood, everybody's old. Like you're old no
it's
matter.
It's like athlete years.
Yeah, exactly. My friend Jennifer Valley was the Gerber baby, and she worked when she was like a newborn.
She still looks exactly the same.
Until 9 months, and then she got, you know, they recast.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Too old.
Ageist. She should still be the Gerber baby.
Anyway, Andre brings forth the topic, slap bracelet. So, I mean, I feel like as soon as you hear that, you know what he's talking about, right? It's like the piece of plastic you slap on your wrist. My daughter has them. She also snaps them on, like, her ankle.
Yeah.
And the cat.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can put them on cat legs.
You just slap away. I don't know how they even make them. It's like that piece of tin. And then it can kind of bend one way and then come back the other way. Yeah, well.
It's definitely some space-age technology.
I am very excited that you have a whole story about a slap bracelet, and I'm anxious to hear it. But I did want to ask you about The Fourth, because your movie called The Fourth is on Showtime.
Yeah.
And it is like a day in the life of a guy on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Trying to put together a barbecue.
Yeah, it's like a little simple mission.
And it seems like that would be a simple mission.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, it's sort of like, well, I mean, this is how it's been described back to me, and I feel like it's a fair assessment. Someone was like, oh, it's like if like Slacker and Curb Your Enthusiasm came together, but you know, with my whatever sensibility, I was like, oh, that's fair.
Well, it is, because it's Slacker, because you know, the guy, the main character is a slacker, or seems like a slacker, but it's also Curb Your Enthusiasm because it's really smart. It's super smart comedy, and all the characters are funny, and it's interwoven the way the way Curb would be.
Yeah, like along the way, there's a lot of seeds planted that sort of come back into play later, and it's all. Yeah, sort of the goal with it was to really sort of make a comedy without any jokes. Just like base it all on like sort of circumstance and characters interacting. And that would be sort of the comedy versus sort of like a really like funny character.
And it's also...
a wisecracking character.
Yeah. And it's also very realistic.
Yeah, yeah. I want it to be super grounded, I guess. Yeah,
it's very grounded. And so the first...
But funny. Like, like trying to make it grounded but funny.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's the subtlety of Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know? And then the fact that, of course, it's never... You don't hear a laugh track or anything. So it's much... It's calmer and it's more realistic. The film that I... first watched of yours, Funnel, the short film. It's about 8 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
That film is so funny. You guys have to go over to YouTube and just look up Funnel. And it's such a simple story again. And that story cracks me up because it takes place in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same background. Like, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so it's like that same scene, that same landscape.
That mildly frozen tundra.
Mildly frozen. And it's just, you just trudge. And then you, because you're walking. Well, in this story, Funnel, you're walking from your the gas station where you bought a funnel.
Yeah.
To your broken down car to fix it.
Yeah.
That's the whole story.
Yeah. The problem I have when I'm pitching shows is it sounds so like base and so like thin when I pitch it. But it's like, but all the comedy's like in a little like minutia of it.
It is. And it's staying the life.
Yeah. So I always feel like it works out well when I do it, but Pishin's like, okay, and that's all he does? It's like...
Well, it's like Seinfeld, right? They didn't do anything.
Right, yeah.
So it's sort of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the background, like I said, the landscape of Cincinnati. What month did you shoot? Like November
or
something?
That was January, and we shot that. Early December, early January.
Could have been anywhere, really, from November to April.
No, it was January. Yeah, sorry, anyway.
January.
There was January, Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, that's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once you're out there and you're walking, then you get sweaty. You have to take off your coat.
Yeah.
And you get cold again. You put your coat back on. It's exhausting. Do you think you'll ever live back east again?
I wouldn't say never, but it's not in my plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to go like live there for summers or something like that.
Yeah.
So like going.
That's
back.
What Dan O'Shannon does. You know, he's a writer for Modern Family Forever, and anyways, just really well-known here in L.A. and very successful, has won several Emmys, but he goes back to Cleveland every summer for 3-4 months.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and he just loves it there.
Yeah, when I go back in the summer, it's always, I prefer, I mean, I'll never not go back for Christmas and stuff, but going back in the summer is so much better.
It's just,
it feels more like a vacation.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to do, and it feels like summer, what I imagine summer to be.
Yeah, because when you go back in the winter, it's like dark at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do.
You
just kind of feel cooped up.
That is true.
But you like LA, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And the new movie, The Fourth, that's all set in LA.
Yeah.
So you guys have to check that out, The Fourth. But that's not why you're here. You're here to talk about a slap bracelet.
Yeah.
So I'm anxious to hear your story. But before Andre comes on with the story, I wanted to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. You already do that. So I'm not even, why am I telling you that? I don't have to tell them because they know that. You should follow Andre Hyland on Twitter at Andre Hyland. That's a good idea. And you're also at Instagram at the Andre Hyland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you did there with the.
It wasn't pretension. It was I signed up and then the name was taken and I was like, well, I'll just do the. And then I realized later, I was like, oh, that was me who signed up like a year ago just to have it because I didn't want to do it. But I was like, might as well put my name in. But anyway.
You're so funny. So you are both of them?
Yeah. So I pushed myself out of using my own name because I'm really smart.
That's super funny. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Andre Hyland. He is a writer and an actor and a director, like we talked about. And like I said, he's got some really original material out there, including that new movie, The Fourth, and also Funnel, like I said, which won Best of Sundance. That's very impressive.
It was in Sundance. It didn't win the best short. It was chosen by Rolling Stone as one of the must-sees. It did get that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really great. How exciting. Did you get to go to Sundance?
I did, yeah. It was awesome.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I've been there three times now, which is crazy. I went with the short, and then the fourth came back and played Sundance, and then I was in a movie that Michelle Morgan made called L.A. Times. Or It Happened in L.A. That's what it's called now.
It changed.
And that
names.
I acted in, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was, how about, did you like that one? Is that a good one?
Yeah. It's cool.
Seen it.
Yeah, that's out
good.
Now, too. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Good. And then you also have the Jesse Miller talk show, which is so funny, this character that you do on YouTube, and then you also do a live show at the Improv. And where did Jesse Miller come from?
My character, Jesse Miller, I say he's from Norwood, Ohio, which is a city within Cincinnati. It's sort of like, but that doesn't tell you much if you're not familiar with the area. He's more like sort of like urban Appalachian energy drink culture, I guess. You know, like you could say, you'd probably be like at a... like at a Papa Roach show or mm-hmm. a Kid Rock show, kind of dude who'd, you know, buy liquor for kids outside of a, you know, a 7-Eleven or something like that. But like, yeah, he's like urban redneck, but not like of the Joe Dirt variety, more like, yeah, like an urban redneck. That's the best way to describe
it. But he's sweet. He's really likable.
Yeah, yeah, he's a positive guy.
He's super likable, really.
And he fancies himself a mogul and a Hollywood go-getter.
Yeah, and he's just so confident. And yeah. Sometimes I wish I was a little bit more like Jesse Miller. You know what I mean? Like, I think we all would be, you know, that kind of confidence and ego.
Well, it's funny when I go out and do like hidden camera stuff as Jesse or like Man on the Street segments. A lot of times I'm like, man, people have more fun with Jesse than they do with me. And I feel like I have more fun as Jesse than I do as me. Because I'll just like unabashedly get into anything stupid that just like, you know, whatever strikes my fancy
in
the moment.
Well, you're super committed. And so they're not doubting you at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're so earnest. And even in this town in LA where people are so cynical, he really comes across as absolutely real.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Andre Hyland.
Okay, so... at the time, I was being homeschooled. I was homeschooled for a few years with my older brother, and then eventually me and all my siblings. And for lunch, we would walk up to Subway near our house, and we were very familiar there. And the manager there would call us the Meatball Gang, because we'd always get meatball subs. So anyway, meatball subs from Subway were pretty common for us at the time. I had a dentist appointment. So, like, we did homeschooling, which just meant we just were at home and had our own schedule and did whatever half the time. I had a dentist appointment. And I when I was little, I used to hate brushing my teeth. Like, they'd try to bribe me to brush my teeth or, you know, whatever. It was, like, a lot of struggle to get me to brush my teeth. I brush my teeth now, so I've overcome that. But, but anyway, I used to really hate it when I was little. And I think I was probably like 10 at this point, I guess. Maybe 9, 10, somewhere in that zone. Still hated brushing my teeth, but did it a little bit. But anyway, I had to go to the dentist, which was separate from the non-wanting to brush my teeth issue. But just to give you an idea of my feeling towards dental situations, I guess. So anyway, I was hungry, so I went to Subway and ate a foot-long sub. Before I went to the dentist, which I thought was like, you know, a fair, good idea. I didn't even think it was a good idea. I didn't even think anything about it. And just to give you some background about the dentist I had to go to, this is all walking distance from my house. So it was the dentist. This dentist, he was kind of like a cool dentist. I remember he gave me and my older brother like the code to Contra. If anybody remembers that on a Nintendo game, it was like up, down, left, right, A, B, select, start, something like that. And it would give you 30 lives. And we were like, yeah, he's a cool dentist. He gave us this video game code. So anyway, I had to go to him. So I went to Subway, and the dentist was on the same street just a few blocks up. Also at this dentist, no matter who you are, or like if you like, no matter your age, I should say, if you come in and get a dental cleaning or any dental procedure, their thing is they give everyone a single rose. So like all their patients get a single rose, and that's for children and adults. And then if you're a child, you get like a toy, which would often be like a bouncy ball or a slap bracelet, most often a slap bracelet. So anyway, so I'm walking up to the dentist. I'm starting to like, you know, I started my day off well, like, this is awesome. I'm eating Subway. And then as I was going to the dentist, I started to be like, oh, God, this is going to suck. I don't want to go to the dentist. And then, but I get there, I have to go. And I get in, and I hate the part. It was just a routine cleaning. It wasn't even like a bad procedure. It wasn't like a cavity or anything bad. Also, I remember like previous to that, one time at the dentist with my older brother, we were there together, and the dentist was like, if you guys didn't have, you are so lucky you have strong enamel because you take such poor care of your teeth. Anyway, so a little side note. So my teeth are okay, just thanks to just having strong enamel. But anyway, so back to me walking up to the dentist. I'm getting apprehensive. I'm like, ugh, I hate the part where they clean your teeth and like go towards the back. And then like, so I get, it always made me gag, and it just like really grossed me out. So I get into the dentist. I'm getting nervous. And before we start, he's like, whatever, he's getting the little dental tools ready. And I go, hey, is it okay if we, like, if you don't see, like, my back teeth? And does it really make me gag? It makes me sick. And he was like, well, you know, it'll be all right. It'll just, like, you know, the toothbrush, the electric brush or whatever it is, it's like, it'll just kind of, like, tickle your teeth. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, I know, but it'll make me want to throw up. Like, I hate it. And he thought it was just being dramatic. And I was like, no, I really don't, like, it just... And he's like, just, you know, we'll start at the front, we'll work the back or whatever. I was like, okay. And then he starts, and I just get really tense, and he's like, you know, whatever, brushing my front teeth. And I was like, ugh. And then he slowly starts working the way back on, like, my top teeth. And oh, my God. So he's slowly getting back. I'm getting really anxious. And it's just like, I just hate it. I hate it so much. It just makes me gag. And then, like, so I'm like, oh. And then he gets the thing to the back, like, hits to, like, some back bicuspid or something. And all of a sudden, I was just like, blah! And, like, I just threw up so hard. Like, it just, like, it was like that. It was only on my back upper teeth for, like, not even a half a second. And I just hurtled so hard, and like, so he's, you know, he's got his little, like, dental smock on or whatever, his little lab coat, and I just have this vivid memory of the barf hitting his hip and, like, get all over his little white jacket. And it was back when they still had the little, like, spittoon. It wasn't the thing that sucked the saliva, and he, like, pushed this the little, like, sink, like, in front of me, like kind of angrily and sort of, like, you know, emergency action, just, like, pushed it in front of me. And then I just remember the rest of the barf, and it was a lot. It was all this brown, red, and orange barf. But there was this big Subway meatball, a foot-long meatball sub on wheat with lettuce. I always put lettuce on my meatball subs, but anyway, because I thought I should get a topping, and I didn't like most of them. But anyway, so, like, all this fucking Subway barf just came out and filled the sink. And I remember it going in. It's hard to sort of describe, but without having a visual. But it, like, the barf went into the sink and came out. Like, it was full and then over. And so it was just like teeth tickle, like blah, then like on his hip, the sink in front of me, and then if it was like a movie, it was just like cut to me walking down the street with a fucking slap bracelet and a rose 10 minutes later.
Was your mom there?
No, it was just me alone.
And how old were you?
Like 10.
So she would just send you to the dentist alone?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty, I mean, I guess because in Cincinnati, in the suburbs.
Well, it wasn't really in the suburbs. It was near a university. But, okay. Like, I don't know. I feel like the last 15 years changed how people view, I mean, parenting's always changing.
I know.
Or kids' freedom or whatever you want to describe it as changes. Yeah.
I know. It does. Because I was the same way. Like, nobody even knew where we were from 9 to 5. It was just, we were out.
Yeah,
and
you
didn't even think of it. But anyway, okay, so that, I'm mad at that dentist because you told him.
I know. I warned him. I warned him multiple times.
I can't believe he's never heard of a gag reflex.
I mean, don't know. Yeah.
That doesn't sound that uncult. That doesn't sound unusual. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of kids give false alarms as excuses, but I was legit. I was going to barf if he did that. But,
for sure.
But it's nothing like, that's not like a unique trait.
Did he have an assistant? Did somebody come and help you?
No.
Well, what happened? Did he, like, throw a towel at you and then give you the rose? And
pretty much. He said, okay, I think we're done here.
Was it all over you, too?
No, I was okay, because I leaned away, and that's why I got all over his hip, and then I just put it all in that dish.
Yeah.
And it just left him. It's, I mean, I felt so kind of bad for him,
gross,
though, too.
Because it wouldn't even go down, I'm sure.
No, it just filled the thing.
Yeah, there's no way it would even drain.
He had work.
That is so gross. And then the whole office, I mean, that would be like, you'd have to have a sterilization situation.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But I guess, like, you know, even if he was still going to work on me, he's probably thinking, like, how am I going to get through this? It was a simple just, like, cleaning his teeth, and he barfed everywhere.
Did you?
Also, I think he did call my mom, maybe. I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure he did. Because, yes, he did. But he complained, like, why did you let him eat lunch just before he came here?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Something to that effect.
That's like a swimming rule. Like, you don't eat before you swim. But I don't think there's...
Like, if he knew he was going to barf, why did he eat a whole foot-long sub? Which is fair to a degree.
Had you ever done that before, though? I mean, gotten, like, the gag reflex. Like, how did you even know that was going to...
It had never happened like that. That's funny. Yeah, I always just got... I hated brushing my own teeth for that same reason. And I guess when I got to the dentist before, maybe I hadn't eaten a bunch, so I was just like, nothing happened. Because I definitely never hurtled on someone like that before, or at the dentist, or since, really. Oh, God, I remember I went on some school trip, like a field trip. This is like a total side note, but another bad dentist experience. But it didn't end in barf. But we went to, like, it was a field trip. Like, awesome, field trip. And then we went there. We went to a dental school. And we found out that we were just used as guinea pigs for this dental school. Like, the school got a free field trip out of it because they could offer, like, I didn't even know, we went there and got our teeth cleaned. And they did it because they could, like, test their students out doing dental cleanings.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Didn't your parents have to fill out, like, a waiver?
I guess, like, so, but they're like, take them to the dentist. Kids.
Yeah, so, like, you all go to the doctors together and get a shot or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
That is so bizarre. Did you have homeschool field trips?
No, that was when I was in an actual school. Or whatever you want to call it, yeah, like a traditional school.
When did they start doing the homeschool?
I did homeschooling from fourth through seventh grade.
I see. And then you went back to regular school.
Yeah, I went to a lot of different grade schools. So I'm dyslexic and had a lot of trouble learning. It's a whole other story. Yeah. That would have been like a very long story.
Yeah.
I ran away from several schools and stuff.
Your mom and dad were really good parents and like helped you navigate, as it were?
Yeah, they're great. Yes.
Aren't you lucky you had them in terms of like getting you to the right place?
Yeah, I agree. And then also when I was doing homeschooling, you know, like that's when I started making videos and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's still a huge part of my life. I don't know if I would have or wouldn't have done that, but it certainly influenced me early on.
You know, because my kid is 11 and she loves to make commercials and makes little videos, and obviously I encourage it. And she does come up with really funny things, especially when she starts using the effects that are on the computer and, you know, because she's just learning.
Oh, for sure.
It's super cute. But what would you tell kids? Like, do you have any point of focus for them?
For kids in homeschooling?
No, not homeschooling, but just kids that like want to pick up a camera. Like I could say to Alabama, I could say, hey, I talked to this kid, you know, this guy today is a filmmaker. He started filming when he was about your age. He had an idea. What should she do?
Oh, just go make it.
I mean, but like, do you have any like thoughts like for kids, like how to break it down? Like what does it even mean to make a film for a kid when at your age, like, did you just start doing pranks like Jackass stuff?
Kind of. It was a combination of everything. Well, I guess initially it was just making videos when I was in homeschooling. We'd make like Batman spoofs called Batman and Robin, and my brother would play Batman. I'd play Robin, who was like a out of shape Robin who had all this like gross like ketchup all over his shirt and had a weird leg. And anyway, whatever. That's our idea of
it. Did your brother become a filmmaker by chance?
No, he did not.
He went off into what?
Yeah. Well, he went to school for like urban planning, and then he works in like. Helps with like political campaigns. He does like a variety of stuff. My sister, she's the youngest, she's an illustrator, and then my younger brother, he's in industrial design. So we all do like creative stuff.
But I bet they're really supportive of your films, aren't they?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I bet they are. Because they were doing it with you when you were a kid, and then they see you move forward.
Yeah.
So you were doing stuff with your brother.
Yeah.
Just thinking like, you know, like she likes to, of course, include the cat a lot in her videos.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Well, we started doing stop action animation is how we did it originally. That was like the first thing we did. Then we did Batman and Robin. Then we did other stuff. New Jack City. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And we did one called New Jack Pity. And that was like our spoof of that. And then we just make a lot of one-offs. But the Batman thing was like the main thing. And then in high school, I started making a series called Action George, where we had like a Curious George doll. And then we would just make him go on like adventures, I guess. But we were always doing.
See, now that's actually a really cute idea, right there. Like, you remember that doll called Flat Stanley? It's like a
I don't remember that
Flat
one.
Stanley. It's like a piece of paper, and people take it all over the world, and they take pictures of it.
Oh,
and then
gotcha.
Send it back to the child at school. Yeah. Like, look where I talk. You know, I was in Paris, and Flat Stanley came with me. Anyway, so it's kind of like that. That's an idea to tell my daughter to take, you know, one of her animals or dolls, and from their point of view. I'm just trying to think about filmmaking.
Yeah,
you know,
we like
kids.
Came to the Taco Bell drive-thru and stuff like that. And I don't know, other things. Some of it was like little fake sets we'd build. Some would be outside. And I don't know. I kind of want to post that on YouTube now.
You should. I think it's adorable because it's like Adam Goldberg, you know, in the show The Goldbergs, the sitcom, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the sitcom, they always go back and show a flash of when Adam was a kid and filmmaking and how they'll parallel, even the clothes, they'll parallel exactly from the sitcom to when he grew up and what he did. And it's so great that he can mine all that.
Yeah.
That's
no,
a
I've
lot
got
of
some
stuff.
Archives, yeah, also.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you about the fourth.
But real quick, I guess you're saying what would you say to a kid wanting to make stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'd also say just like parents, it's just like sports are so ingrained in people. It's just like, oh, if they like baseball, they sign them up for a baseball team. I mean, do the same thing for like film. If
creative
they're a kid.
Stuff.
And doesn't it like if there's it's so cheap to make it now. Like you have a phone, you can make stuff.
Yeah, everything is on a consumer level and they learn so fast.
Yeah. Like I had to like I didn't have anything to edit with other than like in camera to VCR and stuff when I was little. Like so it's like way easier now.
What were
like,
you doing for editing then?
Originally we would just do in camera cuts is how we first did it.
Yeah.
And then I borrowed a VCR from a friend and then hooked it to mine. And then I would just edit from deck to deck.
Yeah. That is so funny, man. I remember doing that on the camera, like trying to get shots like in order.
Yeah.
And you got to go back and you got to do it again. And it's just so funny that, you know.
And the idea of adding text to a screen was like, that's so insane.
Unbelievable.
It seems so professional.
Couldn't even believe it, man. Even when you watch like subtitles on a TV screen, it just seemed unbelievable.
Not just like on Instagram or whatever, you can put text on anything.
Yeah, it's just like, it's crazy. Really, it's a fun time to be creative in that respect because there's so much going on.
But I would say, yeah, just make it and don't, like, you know, I don't know. It's a weird time too with the internet because now people have this compulsion to share everything. So yeah. I think it's like you should make stuff, but don't feel like it has to be good enough to share. It's okay to make stuff and not share it also.
So how about your films like Funnel and The Fourth? And it's always you are the star because you're basically creating, writing, you're starring in.
Yeah.
And how much of that is you? Because the character seems somewhat similar.
Yeah. Well, I'd say in like Funnel and The Fourth, the character that I play in both of those is more like me than most of my other work. Mm-hmm. So most of my other stuff leading up to that, those are the first things that really like popped off, like, or at least that more people are aware of, I should say. Like my Jesse Miller character is not like me.
No, no.
I mean, there's some core elements that are similar, I guess. There's some of like, or my worst, tackiest traits might be in there somewhere.
Some of your humor could be in there.
Exactly. Right. But I don't act like he does. Right, and we have a very different demeanor. And then like other characters I've done in the past, like when I've done more like hidden camera stuff or more sketch show and that sort of thing, like on my old pilots, like they're different. And then Funnel for me was, I thought it was like self-indulgent when I made it. It was just kind of like a test, like, oh, I want to try some stuff. Because I just finished a pilot of Comedy Central at the time for Jesse Miller.
I see.
And I spent like a year doing that character, or more than that. And I was like, I just want to do, I don't know, whatever.
Funnel will be the opposite because it's the, if you guys haven't seen Funnel yet, you know, it's this guy and he's really kind of introverted and he's on the phone the whole 8 minutes. He's on the phone talking to his friend, and he's the last thing he is like self-indulgent because he himself is so sweet, he's so likable, but he's introverted.
Yeah,
you know, he's just kind of sharing a lot of his thoughts with a friend intimately, kind of in an intimate way. And when you talk to a good friend on the phone, you do talk like that.
For sure, yeah.
So how much was that was written? How much was written?
Well, I wrote out the outline of it, you know, so like the so the sort of story was there, like the bigger broad strokes of it. And then there was some dialogue I had written out, but then I ended up not using it because I felt like that was the only part that felt kind of like shoehorned in there a little bit.
Yeah.
And then most of it was ad libs, you know, it's stuff I had in my head swirling around anyway. But
yeah, could some of it be just an ADR anyway? Because
none of it was ADR.
Interesting.
That was all in the moment or whatever. It's all recordings from the day of. Right. Yeah.
None That's
of it
amazing. And I read somewhere that somebody, just your dad or somebody, shot it on their camera. It was like just a friend shot it.
It
seems really, really professionally done. Some of the wide shots.
Yeah.
It seems more than just a regular camera.
Yeah, well, the guy Shane who shot it, he shot The Fourth with me, Shane Bruce Johnston. And he was married to my sister at the time.
Oh,
and
wow.
He studied photography and stuff too. So he wasn't just like a rando who pulled it up.
No, I mean, it seems like all the pictures are very specific and beautiful, and they match each other.
Yeah.
Like, it seems very cohesive.
Yeah,
both
your
films.
Yeah, thanks. That was the hope.
Well, that's the goal,
I'm glad
isn't it?
You noticed, yeah.
All right, cool. So listen, what's going on now? What are you working on? Something we should know about?
I got a few things. Well, as far as stuff coming out, like there's a show called John Glazer Loves Gear, and I just directed the whole second season of that, and that premieres.
What does that mean, John Glazer Loves Gear?
Well, he did other shows like Neon Joe and Delocated on Adult Swim. He's a comedian. It's like the same company and group of people who did that show Wonder Shows and forever ago.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So a lot
I
of
loved Wonder Shows and so much. Wait, it's the same people?
A lot of them,
Is it
a lot
that
of
humor?
Same people involved. Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm going to love it then.
Yeah, it's like kind of taking sort of a normalish format and then making sort of a demented sort of version of it. And then John in particular, I think, does a really good job of like going off on a tangent on like the dumbest joke, but in the smartest way. And I mean that in a very good way. It's basically him hosting a show about gear. He plays himself. Well, it varies from episode to episode. Like one episode might be mountain climbing. One episode might be football.
I swear to God,
whatever.
So
he'll go in and talk to experts about it and what it is.
Could be fishing gear. Could be cooking gear.
Exactly.
Camping gear.
Exactly.
I love that idea.
Yeah, but like on the show, you know, like his real wife wouldn't be in it, so he hires a fake wife, but his real wife is still in it, and her face is blurred, and he has a fake family.
That sounds so funny.
And then, like, his sidekick slept with his fake wife, but he treats it like an affair because he actually does like her. But
that must be so funny and fun to shoot.
Yeah, it was definitely
Everybody
fun
must
to shoot.
Laugh their
and
ass
it breaks
off.
A lot of, I guess, like, it's very, I don't know if meta is the right way to describe it, but, like, there's a lot of, like, breaking the fourth wall, but it's a reality show also, so there's not really a vague fourth wall.
And man, then, you're really creative, Andre. I'm so impressed.
Well, I got to give John most credit for this one. So.
That's awesome, man. John Glazer. I'm going to look for that. John Glazer loves gear. That yeah. sounds really funny.
So there's that. And then I was a co-head writer for this show out right now on Adult Swim called Mostly for Millennials. And it's a show, Derek Beckles is sort of the head behind that. And he did a lot of TV Carnage stuff. And he came from a world of like cutting up, you know, thrift store videos and all, like a lot of crazy shit that's popular now. He's kind of like an unsung godfather of that sort of aesthetic and world. But that's a funny show. It like basically makes fun of a show that's trying to appeal to millennials and also makes fun of them at the same time. And also makes fun of all the hyper dumb reality and stupidity that is like now, I guess.
Yeah, everything going on. Yeah, it's hard to keep up. Social media. Yeah, you can't. There's no keeping up.
Yeah, it's hard to make fun of now. It's so stupid.
Yeah, well, from the president on down.
Yeah, it's...
I tell my daughter all the time, we're living in very odd times. This is very, very unique.
It's Evil Biff 1985, like straight up.
It really is. It must be really great to work with such creative people. I mean, you know, I mean, I work with creative people as well, but for you as a creator and you're actually, you know, filmmaking, you're making things, that's really got to be satisfying.
Yeah, definitely. I think like a lot of times it's like, there's plenty of people that haven't worked with me, but like, I feel like as time goes on, it's like the picky people pick me,
which feels good.
It's like you kind of find the other people that have shared sensibilities and that sort of thing just
absolutely.
By default.
Absolutely. And also, it's like everybody can succeed. Like, all ships can rise, as it were, because it's not really competing against one another.
No.
If it's creative, it's your own thing. It's like we're painting two different pictures.
Yeah.
No, like everybody can work.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody finds their audience.
Yeah.
I just want a bigger audience.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Whatever.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, man, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
And I want to thank everybody out there for listening to Storyworthy today. Don't forget to give Andre a shout out over there on Twitter at Andre Highland. And of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to thank all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, check out my sponsors, because when you do, you're supporting me. And I thank you so, so much. And a big thanks to Eric Seriani over there at PodcastCrafter.com. Thank you for helping me edit, Eric. And on behalf of the very talented, and God, you got a great future ahead of you, Andre Highland. Thank you so much for sharing the story.
You bet.
I appreciate it. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.